Len, here we are. It's the second week in November, and you know what? They say it's a tradition unlike any other, and boy, this tradition is one that I guess I'm going to hope doesn't continue. It seems weird. The non-April-based Masters, that doesn't even seem like a Masters, is going to tee off this week. The patrons won't be there. The media, for the most part, won't be there. The par three contest is not taking place. I'm not sure some of the legends from the past years will be there. I'm sure Augusta National will look nice and green, and maybe they'll have some azaleas out, but for the most part, it's not going to seem like the Masters as we know it.
No, it sure won't. I tell you, this is going to be one of the weakest fields ever in the Masters. The Masters is, I always feel like it's the weakest field of the four majors. It's always great drama, beautiful course, beautiful setting, but they're entering a format. They want to bring in more of the foreign players, and they want to have a smaller field anyway. One who won't be there this year is Kevin Streelman, Chicago's best tour player, who's had a great year. He was in the top 50 going into the Houston Open, but however, it's very deceiving because usually the top 50 in the rankings prior to the tournament before the Masters would get into the Masters field. It was part of the story of who might squeeze in, but that's not what happened this year. They determined their top 50 off of the rankings held right before Masters, so that goes way back to April. And in so doing it this way, they've lost a number of really good players, most notably Daniel Berger, who was all the way up to, I think, 16th in the world. I talked to Kevin Streelman this week, and he's still going to keep playing a couple more times in the last one of the other two tournaments after the Masters, in hopes of cementing himself into a top 50 at the year's end. That top 50 also gets into the Masters next April. So wish Kevin nothing but the best. He's played in four Masters and had a 12th place finish in one of them, but it's been a few years, I think two or three years, since he's gotten into the field. And he's coming off a great year. He's very happy with his year. He almost made it to the Tour Championship. He came close to winning a couple of times, had a couple seconds. At age 42, he's very happy with the way things went. But who wouldn't want to play in the Masters? So wish him nothing but the best. But our season is obviously not like it used to be with a Masters in November.
A tradition unlike any other. And the back nine on Sunday, taking place in the middle of a NFL on Sunday. CBS even having to not go with any early football games. Some of the big questions that actually came out. Jim Nance obviously will be working the Masters. And will he end up doing a late afternoon football game from Augusta National? We know that ESPN is doing its College Game Day there on Saturday, which is an interesting concept. Jim Nance, who normally works NFL games with Tony Romo. Will Tony Romo be at a football stadium and Jim Nance call the game alongside of him from, well, not being alongside of him, being in a remote spot at Augusta National? It'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out. Len, you said you told us a little bit about Kevin Streelman, but on the Champions Tour, there's another guy with some local ties, and you caught up with him recently as well.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Sluman, this is really an interesting story. Jeff is not played well at all this year. He's 63 years old. And, you know, it's kind of not tradition, but it's understandable that the 50 and older guys, they play good 10 years on that tour. And when they hit that 60th birthday, a lot of them, you know, their game tails off. And that's what's happened to Jeff. But what he's going to do is interesting. Jeff has decided he's been on the tour, Champions Tour, since 2007. He's won, I think, six times on it. Very consistent player throughout his career. But he has decided to not only become a part-time player, instead of playing 25 tournaments, he might play 13 or 14 next year. He'll pick and choose. Not only that, though, he's been living in Florida, right near me here in Delray Beach. He sold his place here. And him and his wife, they're going to move back to Hinsdale, Illinois, where they lived for such a long time when he was a PGA Tour player. He is feeling that he's got a lot of family and friends there. His His daughter is just graduated from college and has taken a job in Chicago, and it's a family first situation, and especially after spending so much of his life on the road, going from tournament to tournament, he feels he deserves the right to go into retirement this way, and I certainly agree with him. But it's going to be a lifestyle change for Jeff, and I think we'll all be missing him on the Champions Tour because it's a fun tour to be on, and he's always been out there.
Len, if Jeff is back in town this week here, he can get out and play some golf in Chicago. The great weather continues. We're going to be closing in on 80 degrees today here in the Chicago area. Ooh. Same thing tomorrow before we go back to around 50 for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and now maybe mid-50s next weekend. So the golf season in Chicago continues. Most of the course operators are taking it day-to-day at this point. Nobody seems to want to put a final closing date out just yet. Most days, the courses are still doing a lot of business. Last Thursday and Friday, you basically couldn't get a tee time in Chicago anywhere, especially on a decent public golf course. And the weekend was the same way. And with upper 70s today and tomorrow, it's probably going to be pretty much the same way again. And next weekend, 55, 56, no rain expected. The sun should be out. I expect the courses, especially with no Bears game next Sunday, they might do pretty well again. Golfers up here are definitely enjoying whatever they call this, the Indian summer, and are going to try to play as much golf as possible, especially with more COVID restrictions going on. And people can't really go out to dine. Most of the restaurants are stuck doing carry out and delivery only. So if you want to get out and do something, golf is still your main option. And I think there's going to be a lot of courses smiling when they see the financial numbers for the end of November.
Well, you know, this is in keeping with the weird status of this whole year for golf and everything else. Here in Florida, we are facing here at Port St. Lucie, where I live, we're facing the threat of a hurricane later today and tonight. It looks like it's going to be mainly a tropical storm, which has been going on for a couple days. But you know, there's been so much rain here that the courses there, you can play a lot of them, but they're beat up. They've shown the effects of drainage problems, and it hasn't been an ideal year at all for golf in Florida. It really hasn't. It's we've noticed it in the courses right around us here, PGA Golf Club. We walk by it every day. There isn't much play out there, but the snowbirds will be here in probably another month. They'll start arriving in bigger numbers, and I'm sure play will pick up then. But such a strange year, and we can only hope for a better 2021.
Len, last week I went down to Flossmoor Country Club, sat down with one of the owners, George Goich, who is the owner with two of his brothers and a friend of the three brothers who lives out of state. But Flossmoor seems to be shining under their new management and the way they're growing the club. Over 100 new members this year. A membership has gone from double digits to almost 200. Someone there, while I was in the grill, who was signing up to be a member there that day. So they continue to trickle in to Flossmoor. And I have to admit, I forgot how good that golf course was. I hadn't played it in 12 years, but it looks great. The conditioning is good. George Goich tells me that the club will be working with Ray Hearn again, who did the renovation 12 years ago. Hearn is going to be allowed to tinker with some tee boxes, a few bunkers, a couple of greens perhaps that might need a little work. But the big part of the project is the strategic removal of over 500 trees that Hearn wanted to do 12 years ago, but the club wouldn't let him do at the time. Goich also says the club has some interest in hosting tournaments again, such as the Illinois Open and the Western Amateur, and they have been in touch with the Illinois PGA and the Western Golf Association about doing so.
Well, you know, I'm glad things are looking up at Flossmoor. That's always been a really good track, and it held at the Women's Western Amateurs, and their events were held over there. They've always, it's been one of the premier private clubs, certainly in the South Suburb. It's not the whole Chicago area. Now, I don't know about this taking down 500 trees. I'm trying to think back on that course. I never felt like it was overburdened with too many trees, but of course I'm like you. I haven't been over to that club in Boy, at least 12 years. I can't think of the last time I was there. So it's good that club is back in the. It'd be a real shame to have lost more. And it sounds like the new owners are going the right direction. That they want to have big events there. I mean, Lossmoor used to be a place where a lot of good events were held. Our friend Susie Wagner there, she was very much a leader in women's golf in the Chicago area for years and years and years, and probably still is. So I think that that's a real positive step that Lossmoor is taking, and I can only wish him nothing but the best. I'd like to have a look at that place again and just see what Ray Hearn is going to do in the way of changes to it, because it was plenty good as I remember it.
Well, Golfers on Golf will be catching up with Ray Hearn a little later this week is the plan, and we hope to be able to talk to him more, not only about Flossmoor, but Ray is very excited about some work he's going to be doing with Midlothian Country Club in the South Suburbs, and he says that what's going to happen there is kind of radical, is what his term was. So we'll learn more from Holland, Michigan-based architect and Evan scholar Ray Hearn coming up later this week. In the meantime, Len, you know, our good friend Mike Gillespie, who was the championship director when we had the Champions Tour in town here over at North Shore Country Club for a few years with Encompass Insurance. And Mike has been with UL and done promotion through their sponsorship involved with the LPGA and International Crown event. And Mike is going to serve as a tournament director for something called the USAM Tour that just started. Mm-hmm. It's already gaining a lot of membership across the country. They are going to have a little circuit here around Chicago next summer, 15 tournaments at many of the better Chicago public area golf courses and a few of the private clubs as well.
Saw that, and I'm interested in hearing more about that from Mike. He's a good man to lead something like that. I mean, this is he's taking on big projects, and this is no small one. The way they have it described, yeah, they're going to have a whole lot. It's almost like a summer-long event, and this USAM Tour, I've been in other states here where they've been holding their tournaments for, I think, probably the last few years that I've seen USAM Tour events around the country. I've never been to one, never seen one. Golf benefits from things like this. It has something new, something different. And golf has never been reluctant to try things like this. And I'm sure, I can't imagine it not working out really well for Mike in Chicago. I think that'll work out really well.
Len, last week I was at Mistwood Golf Course. I took a swing past the Dome on the way home, and I have to tell you, Mistwood and the Dome are looking good. Over on the Dome side, the Dome's going to open in a few weeks, but the brand new shell is now up with the Mistwood logo on the sort of the side to the top of the Dome that faces Route 53 as it goes past the Dome. Looks like Mistwood Golf Dome will be in fine shape this winter, regardless of what is going on in the pandemic world. In the meantime, the Performance Center is going to be open, and Mistwood is going to take, apparently, its members and maybe select other people and allow them to get their fittings and lessons done over at the Performance Center all winter long instead of funneling everybody to the Dome. That'll open up more dome space and hitting bays over there, especially if some of them have to be restricted due to COVID, and if you have to go into an every other person spot on the line, it will open a few more hitting bays over at the Mistwood Golf Dome this winter. In addition, out on the golf course, I saw the brand new men's and women's restroom building, not porta potties, a full building that was assembled and put up out on the golf course. An area that was kind of had some high weeds and stuff was cleared out between a few holes, and it's sort of a nice centralized location, and would probably be a great idea for Mistwood to park the beverage cart there, because it's in between two or three different golf holes, and a lot of people could stop there and use the facility if necessary, or stop and get a beverage or a snack while they are out on the golf course. I also know it's that time of the year where certain areas get cleaned out, and saw that a few areas around the golf course, they had trimmed out and cleaned up, call them the fescue areas that probably needed to be removed. There's a few better sight lines around some of the holes, and Mistwood looks really good. And I'm not sure if it was stuff that they do every year or stuff that under the leadership of the late Jim McWethy's kids have allowed the superintendent and his team to maybe tackle a few projects that, I don't know, maybe Jim didn't want him to touch when he was here, but I'm sure that Jim is looking down at Mistwood and smiling with how good it looks right now.
Jim did so much to make Mistwood what it is. I mean, he's a future Illinois Golf Hall of Famer, if not more than that, in our industry. I can only hope that the family, I'm sure they're doing it, keeping up to date current. I hope they remain, they've been active with the tournament scene, the Illinois Women's Open. That couldn't be played this year, but it'll be back. I'm sure it'll be back bigger and better than ever, and doing tournament scenes and doing all, they do all kinds of stuff over at Mistwood. It's arguably the best public facility in the Chicago area. Arguably, at least. There's, of course, a lot of good ones. Mistwood has really, really come on in recent years, and you can only tip your hat to the McWethys for that happening.
Well, one other golf course that looked really good that I saw last week was Pine Meadow Golf Club in Mundelein. I spoke with Dennis Johnson, the pro there, and he said that they had done some things out on the golf course in terms of conditioning. And I have to tell you, I have never seen Pine Meadow's fairways in better shape. They were absolutely mint, and considering the amount of play they've had this year, there were some holes I was out there walking around, and it was almost like nobody had played the course all summer long. Pine Meadow tees and fairways, outstanding. The greens were in pretty good shape as well. I definitely noticed a major improvement in the fairways and the tee boxes. On a conditioning standpoint, Pine Meadow should be extremely proud of how they look right now.
Yeah, Pine Meadow was always one of my favorites when we were full-time Chicago residents there. That course has been so popular. I think that over the years, since it's 1986, I believe it was the nation's best new public course that just opened there. It's been so consistently popular that the other side of the coin there is that occasionally when you get all that play, it takes a beating. And it's always come back. It's always remains among the top courses on the north side, and that's good. I always look forward to a round at Pine Meadow whenever we're around, and I'm sure we'll be back there again next summer.
Len, one of the things that's going on in the Chicago area, and we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, but I got out and saw some of the work that's getting done in the past week, is several courses around the Chicago area are getting new clubhouses. There's going to be a brand new clubhouse built at Sportsman's Golf Club in Northbrook when that course reopens. The old one has been torn down and flattened. I know there's a fundraising effort going on by Friends of the Glen Golf Course in the North Shore. They're trying to get a new clubhouse there. I also went over there's a hole in the ground at Fox Run and Elk Grove, and they're getting ready, or at least they were a week ago, to start pouring a foundation, and they're going to try to get that building somewhat up before the weather gets real bad here. The golf staff is hopeful for late next fall. No guarantee, but they'd like to be in the building and in their offices and so forth before the course closes in 2021. They're keeping their fingers crossed. Meanwhile, the clubhouse is up and out of the ground, and I got to believe within about a month, if the weather holds, they'll be able to start doing the indoor work, the Preserve at Oak Meadows Clubhouse. And so that will be really exciting. And I think this winter, I'm looking forward to touring around with my Golfers on Golf Radio partner, Ed Stevenson, and taking a look and seeing how that project is advancing. I know I talked to head professional Jamie Nieto, and he said he's looking forward to being in his new office in that clubhouse for opening day at the Preserve in 2021, whenever that comes, probably at some point in April on the calendar next year. But new clubhouses are out there. And speaking of DuPage Golf, for the first time ever, I went and played their nine-hole course, Green Meadows, last week. It starts with three par fours and then six par threes, and it's down in Westmont, and it's a wonderful little golf course. And I would hope that the DuPage County Forest Preserve District would do a little more with it, maybe make it as a place that the junior golfers could go and maybe practice on. You know, they've got that DuPage County Junior that they've played at Maple Meadows and the Preserve for years, and maybe the younger group could have their own little Super Junior event over at Green Meadow, and some of the kids that play better there, when they sign up for the bigger event at the other courses, you'd have a little idea of the skill level coming in on new players.
Every area, it seems to me, no areas, be it Florida, Illinois, wherever, have enough courses that are really super appropriate for junior play. You know, this is that course by the Preserve looks ideal. I have not played that one. I mean, Cantini has, of course, the best of the youth links over there. That's top notch. That's it's too bad every community doesn't have one of those. But it's so important for the growth of the game to have a course that is youth friendly in the way of price, youth friendly in the way of play, youth friendly in the way of instruction. It's so very important for the growth of the game, and I'm glad that that's happening over there at by the Preserve, because that's a really a busy place and can touch a lot of lives over there.
There is more course renovation work going on. The project has launched at Settlers Hill in Batavia. I touched base with Greg Martin, and they are starting to tear out some of the bridges that needed to be redone or replaced. Some of the off-the-course work has started. I know they are hoping yet the weather will hold for a few more weeks and they can get a few more things done this fall so they can really make a run at it next spring as soon as the snow melts. But there will be another course where there will be a new clubhouse when that course reopens in 22. Even though Greg Martin tells me the golf course is likely to reopen before the clubhouse is finished. So there could be a trailer there for a few months until the clubhouse is done in 22. But what's nice to see is, you know, Len, you and I have talked about golf course renovations for years and around town, because over the last 10, 15 years, there's been a bunch of golf course renovations. But at the same time, now we're starting to see, I believe, a little bit of an uptick in people realizing that it's time to replace the clubhouse, make them bigger, get more use out of them in the off season, places putting in winter simulators and things like that, so that the clubhouse, even if the golf course is snowed under and it's a little too cold outside to play, there can be perhaps a year-round revenue stream. Even if it's not a big one in the winter months, it's better than not having one at all.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, this flurry of new clubhouses, frankly, it's really been kind of overdue within the Chicago area. But you see what's been done at Mistwood is the grinding blow there. That's a hard one to keep up with something like that. That's setting the tone for what's going on at a number of these other clubs. See, there were a lot of clubhouses that really were in need of some work, and they're getting it now. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but there's no reason that these can't be year-round operations. And I think that we're going to see, I hope that we see more and more of that in the Chicago area.
Finally, for this week, Len, questions are starting to be raised about the PGA merchandise show. Yeah. You know, obviously they've announced a virtual format for this year, but when I talk to companies that have exhibited there in the past, or our major players, they're all saying that they really haven't received any guidance or instructions yet from the PGA of America how this virtual format is going to work. So we're not sure if companies are going to set up some kind of display in their home office, and it's going to be a video link, and you'll be able to click on if you actually need to talk to somebody. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's going to work. The companies that normally, you know, display there, many of them are still confused on how it's going to work. And also, the question is now being raised: what does it mean for the show in 2022? You know, will people come back? You know, the plan is, hey, everybody's going to come back and meet face to face in 22, but might there be a demand for continued virtual, you know, exhibits come 22, even if the show is going on? And what will happen to that show? Will it get smaller? Will it get bigger because of the boom in golf? Will it be in Orlando? Pictures are starting to come out. The golf courses are taking shape by the new PGA offices in Frisco, Texas. And there is a convention center and a hotel going up there. And might there be a show over in Texas? I don't know what's going to happen with the PGA merchandise show. But even if it is up back up and running in 22 in Orlando, something tells me it's going to have a different look and a different feel.
Boy, that is for sure. I've been trying here on my end here. I live a lot closer to Orlando. I live just barely an hour away, and I've been trying through whatever sources are available here in Florida as to just what's going to happen that late week in January that we've all grown so used to enjoying at the convention center there. But I think that what's happened, this decision to go virtual was they need more time, I think, before they can decide anything. I mean, nobody seems to know anything. Everybody's just guessing. My guess, if, for what that's worth, is that they'll probably try to have some version of the demo day out at Orange County National. That's really a smaller scale thing, but it's a great demo day that goes all the way around this this huge practice range, and at least that would provide the flavor of the PGA merchandise show. It certainly won't be the same thing. Who knows if it'll ever really be the same thing? Maybe it'll be better once all this uncertainty wears off. At least one can only hope. But as far as the move to Texas, I just can't ever. I hope it doesn't happen. I just can't ever see Florida being without a PGA merchandise show of some sort, something along that line. Maybe there'll be one in Texas too, but I can't ever see him really up and leaving Florida.
We are going to up and leave for this week, and actually, let's try to be back again this week. Maybe we can rehash what the Masters looks like on Saturday, and we'll try to get back on schedule with our weekly podcast.